In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, May 12, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Harvard Law Professor Mark Tushnet is saying conservatives are the losers in the culture war, especially since the death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. He encouraged his fellow liberals to press aggressively liberal positions and to treat conservatives like the Allies treated the Nazis in World War II. No quarter. The World View spoke to Dr. William Ringenberg, history professor at Taylor University and author of The Christian College, about how Christians should respond.
Obviously, he's not fair. And what do you do when someone says something about you or a group that you identify with closely and it's not fair? First of all, you try not to respond in kind. You try to be fair.
The Apostle Paul reminds us, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. Yesterday, Sudan released church leader Talahoon Ngozi Kassa after nearly 5 months of imprisonment. Sudan's National Intelligence and Security Services arrested the pastor back on December 13, 2015, without charges. Sources indicate he was likely targeted for his Christian activities and opposition to a government takeover of his church's property. Praise the Lord, he is free. But pray for the many other Christians arrested and harassed by Sudan's security services. Over 90 people were left dead on Wednesday after several incidents of suicide bombings in Iraq's capital city. The attacks targeted Shiite neighborhoods, and the Sunni-led ISIS has since claimed responsibility for the atrocities. Man's sinful condition is evident everywhere. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Romans 3. A former Facebook journalist claimed in a report on Monday that Facebook has regularly suppressed news stories of conservative interest. Facebook has denied the report. Senator John Thune commented on the issue in an interview with NBC Nightly News.
If the news that's coming through there, which is represented to be objective, and it's not, then I think the people deserve the right to know that.
In an interview on Tuesday, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump said he would not disclose his tax returns before the November elections. He indicated, quote, there's nothing to learn from them, unquote, but said he would release the returns after the IRS finished their audit. Trump also denounced receiving taxpayer funds for his campaign, calling it inappropriate. As the United Methodist Church commences its 2016 General Conference this week, the eyes of the world are watching for how the denomination will handle the homosexual issue. Thus far, over 100 United Methodist clergy have publicly announced their aberrant sexual proclivity towards homosexuality. Until now, the United Methodist Church does not allow for the ordaining of homosexuals or the performing of homosexual fake marriages. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. World Magazine reports that the Iowa Supreme Court has ruled that unborn children have the full rights of minors. In the case, a mother had filed because she believed her unborn daughter's rights had been violated by doctors through negligence. The court sided with the mother, considering the rights of the unborn child to be the same as those of a minor child. A professor from Marquette University was suspended from his position for defending a student who spoke against homosexual marriage in an ethics class. Professor John McAdams has now filed a legal challenge with the university on the grounds of free speech. Employees of a Salem, Oregon Domino's Pizza saved a customer's life after noticing his daily order had not come in, according to reports from KOIN TV6. It was unusual, because Kirk Alexander had ordered nearly every day since 2009. Driver Tracy Hamblin took time out of his day to go check on Alexander, but then called 911 after there was no response. Deputies arrived on the scene, finding Alexander in need of medical attention. After being taken to the hospital, he is now in stable condition. Another good example of Matthew 22:39 in action. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. As you know, we're looking for 250 listeners to pledge just $20 a month to help pay for the expenses of the Worldview. At this point, three people have stepped up to the plate. Would you consider making that donation today? Go to theworldview.com and click on Give. And that's The Worldview on this Thursday, May 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
You have to admit, The Worldview in 5 minutes is unique. Nobody else pairs the latest news stories with timeless scripture verses. The result? The Bible comes alive in the context of everyday news. To research, write, voice, and produce The Worldview costs money. If you value what we're doing, vote with your wallet. We need 250 listeners to pledge just $20 a month by May 31st. Go to theworldview.com, click on Give in the top right corner, and check the recurring donation box. It's just 64 cents a day. We've spent thousands to get this going, and now we need you to help keep it going. Let's proclaim to the world that God is at work in everyday news.
With that song, you know a couple of things, that this is Generations Radio and Kevin is out of town. So it's
hey,
me, Steve Vaughn, together again with
Bill Jack from Worldview Academy. Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
You make great coffee. You make better coffee than Kevin does.
Okay? Yeah. Well, yeah, I've got better stuff.
I like your bunker better than his.
Okay. It's a little bit bigger.
It's bigger. It has great music.
Yeah.
And the door doesn't lock like a safe.
Yeah.
It makes me always nervous when I go into his basement and climb into the bunker and then he shuts the door. I'm afraid, you know, the bomb's going to go off and we're going to be stuck there with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be kind of scary if the bomb did go off and it's just you and Kevin left.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That would be scary.
No escape hatch.
Yeah. No, there isn't. And last time I looked, there wasn't that much food in there.
No.
There are a few books and some computer stuff. Yeah.
Kevin's in there.
Yeah, Kevin's in there.
And you know, he bounces off walls anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. He can't sit still. That's why he's got to have that mic that's on the boom arm.
Because yes.
He's up and down and people don't see that. It's probably a good thing that they don't see him doing that.
It would be fascinating to have a video streaming of him.
Kind of like Limbaugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we could have that.
The Swanson camera.
That's, yeah. So Swan Cam. We could call it just Swan Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope this is not
or
our
special
song.
Subscribers. Special subscribers could get access to the Swan Cam and they could.
Boy, that's a money maker. Well, I hope this is not our swan song as co-hosts of Generations, but it's good to be here. Glad to have your coffee again. I've missed it and missed doing this with you. All kinds of stuff going on. And it is amazing to me how quickly the culture has degenerated. My wife and I were talking about this the other day and how it just seems like it's not an escalator ride. It is an elevator plunge.
Yeah, there was a new roller coaster that just opened up in Cedar Point or something like that, the highest and fastest falling, so 232-foot drop, and it's the fastest plunge coaster in the world now. That's kind of where we are.
How fast can you fall, what, 180 feet a second? Is that what it is?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, since it's the fastest, I think you're getting up into the 100 or close to 200 miles an hour on that drop. So, yeah. Yeah, it looks at 232 feet drop, and what they do is they take you to the edge, and then they hold you there for a sec, and then you just plunge. Just watching the video is enough for me.
Well, we are on the precipice, and I think that the plunge is happening. quickly.
Yeah.
And we see that in stories like we've been talking about, you know, North Carolina, Mississippi, Georgia, their legislators passed laws that would require that people enter the bathroom of their sex, of their birth sex.
That's discrimination, isn't it?
I mean, what have we come to? What would our founding fathers say if they came back and said, you're actually debating these bills? This is a matter of public policy.
Yeah.
People can't figure this out on their own. We have to have legislation to determine what bathroom you go into. Now, that is the culture's demise, when your legislators are taking time to debate that kind of thing, and yet they let pass obvious breaches of the law by Planned Parenthood in selling body parts of aborted babies.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I'm at a loss for words that we are, you know, like what you said, we're actually debating this in legislation. The founding fathers are not just turning over in their grave, they're in high-speed rotation.
Yeah, they're spinning.
Yeah.
They're spinning. Well, the Christian Legal Agency announced it's going to offer North Carolina free legal services.
Well, good.
Yeah. You know, but why? Because the state's own attorney general has refused to defend the state's new law preventing transgender men from entering women's public bathroom showers and locker rooms. Now, when you just say bathrooms, you go, okay, I mean, you know.
There's stalls and
stuff.
Yeah, there's
stalls. You know, everybody has a home and we use a shared bathroom, right?
Right. But that's not the case.
That's not the case. You add showers and locker rooms to this, and that's when people begin to go, wait a minute, back up here. And yet, what is the population of the transgendered community? It's less than 1%.
Right.
1% supposedly are transgendered. Now, what does transgender mean? We used to call them transvestites. In other words,
right. These
were men who dressed in women's clothing.
Right. Yeah, you've got to kind of update your definition of what people mean. There's a difference now between sex and gender. It used to be, as far as I can remember, it was the same thing. If you were female gender, it's because you're female sex.
See, that drives me crazy. That just drove me crazy because I'm an old grammar teacher. And gender applies to grammatical terms.
Right.
Okay.
Words
him,
mean, or they used to mean things. Yeah.
Well, we're
getting rid of that, too. I mean.
Yes. So now we've confused the language, so we don't say they're sexually deviant.
Right.
We say they're transgendered.
Right. So, because you could be a male, but identify as a female gender. You know, that just throws confusion in.
It is awful. And what's happened is House Bill 2, otherwise known as the Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act. Think about this. We have to call it a Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act. It was passed by an overwhelming majority of North Carolina legislature last week, signed into law by Governor Pat McCrory, and immediately it came under attack, not just from the LGBT activists,
right,
but from the feds.
And the NBA.
Yes. Yes. And people are up in arms because all of these big companies like PayPal have decided to not do business in North Carolina. What hypocrisy on the part of PayPal.
Yeah.
Because they are in countries that execute homosexuals. They are in countries that oppress women. And yet they're not going to do business in North Carolina because North Carolina says you got to use a bathroom that is labeled for your sex.
Yeah, and my advice to any Christian out there at this point is you've got to take your kids out of public school because it's in public schools now. And there are Christians out there that are fighting this, and they're suing the government over this. But really what's going to happen is you've got to cost them money. Pull them home. Bring them home. Teach them at home. Otherwise, your daughters are going to be in the locker room when some pervert guy comes in and says, well, right now, I'm going to identify myself as a female. And he's going to sit there and watch your girls taking showers.
Yes. And not only watch, but take film of them, accost them, molest them. And that is the problem. And you mentioned when we were getting ready for the show that Bruce Jenner is so, this is a sad case because he claims to be a Christian.
Right.
Okay. And what he's done is he's shaking his fist in the face of God. He's saying, you don't define me. I define me.
Yeah.
That is the problem with this whole movement, because we are in confusion. I talked to a student, sat down with a young girl who was homeschooled, and she said, what do you think of Caitlyn Jenner? I said, what do you mean Caitlyn? His name is Bruce. And she said, well, she wants to be called Caitlyn. I said, well, you know, Abraham Lincoln asked a group of people, if you call a sheep's tail a leg, how many legs does a sheep have? And she said, well, five. I said, no. It doesn't matter what you call the tail. It's still a tail. He only has four legs. Yeah. I said, check his DNA.
Yeah.
Well, he claims to be a Christian, she said. And I said, well, he may be. He may have trusted Christ, but he's shaking his fist in the face of God Almighty, saying, you don't define me, I define me. That is the ultimate problem we're facing here.
Yeah.
And we have abandoned a biblical worldview. We need to not only stand in support of legislators who are willing to put themselves out on the line and say, hey, I'm going to stand for the same values that the Bible says that we need to stand for. And we need to defend women. This is an attack on women.
Oh, yeah.
This is an attack on young girls. It puts women at risk, puts young girls at risk, and it allows for perversion to run rampant in the culture. And each man will do what is right in his own eyes. And here's the solution. Before we go to break, I think here's the solution. The only solution I can come up with. For example, Target has said, you know, they're going to open up their bathrooms to anybody. Well, there's over 1 million people who signed a petition saying they're going to boycott Target. I think it needs to go beyond that. I think every elder board and deacon board should go down to their local Targets, stand in line in front of the women's bathroom, call the manager over, say, come here. We're about to go in the women's bathroom. Is that okay with you? And the manager is going to say, well, it's company policy. And then the deacon board and elder board should say to that manager, you know what? We represent this church. We have so many members. We're going to go back to that church. We're going to tell our members, do not shop at your Target. Now, we know that you, Mr. Manager, are just the manager, and so you're the messenger boy. Yeah. So, boy, and I use those terms, boy, go to your corporate headquarters and tell them how much money you're losing because we as a church are not going to shop here. We're going to do everything we can possibly do to put you out of business because you are putting women at risk. You hate women. You are destroying the culture, and we're going to see to it that that's not going to happen. Now, do you think that's going to happen? Do you think churches are going to do that?
No.
Okay. Now, that's why I'm so upset about this, because Christians are retreating into their ghettos. Christians have retreated into their ghettos, and they are not willing to put their faith in their pocketbook.
Yeah, and what's going to happen is that this is going to come to your church as well, especially if you're 501c3 because you're incorporated by the government.
That's right.
And once your 501c3 status comes up and they come and tell you you've got to do the same thing or you've got to provide for a separate restroom for transgendered, you know, you're going to end up with five different restrooms, one for every sex and gender, and it's going to keep growing. You need to pull out a 501c3, first of all, because it's not required, not mandated. Dated by the tax code. 508A says that churches by nature are tax immune and therefore do not pay taxes to the government based upon the tax code. You do not need to be 501c3, but if you are and you continue to be incorporated by the government, then the government's going to have a say over what you get to do. Guess what? They already do. You go into churches right now, which flag is higher? You got to have the American flag higher than the church flag because Wow. The government has control over what you say in the church.
Wow. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about this. And again, what should Christians do when evil seems to be winning? How do we respond here on Generations Radio?
For many centuries, liberal arts education in Christian high schools and colleges has had a fatal flaw. The great humanist thinkers have led millions of Christian young people astray through the very doors of Christian liberal arts classrooms. Unless we introduce a critical analysis of worldview into liberal arts education, Christian education will be utterly consumed by the humanists. And that is why Generations is pleased to present Worldviews in Conflict, a high school or college introduction to and critical analysis of the philosophers, the literary masters, and the cultural influencers of the last 300 years, a refreshing improvement of most philosophy and literature courses. This course is filled with relevant biblical truths that address the false worldviews of the great secular humanist works. If you want your children to be part of the next generation of faithful Christian leaders, equip them to critically evaluate the works of Karl Marx, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Steven Spielberg, William Shakespeare, Mark Twain. Get the Worldviews in Conflict Literature and Philosophy course and the free Jean-Jacques Rousseau Study Guide at generations.org.
The Reverend Jimmy Bratcher doing our bumper music.
Yeah, go out and buy his music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look him up online, jimmybratcher.com or something. Just J-I-M-M-I-E, Bratcher. He's got like 6 albums out, coming up with a new one here fairly soon. Quite a guy.
Yeah.
He actually let go of his guitar for like 20 years to be a pastor, and then God called him back into playing the blues, and he's going to Sturgis. He was like voted the top performer on the street at Sturgis last year.
Well, if nothing will drive you to the blues, then 20 years of being a pastor, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
that was what somebody told him. If you want to learn to play the blues, go back to church. So, yeah, quite a musician.
Well, we are singing the blues here at Generations Radio because we're talking about the North Carolina law and Pat McCrory, governor who has stood up to the federal government, and how the federal government is coming down on him and saying, we're going to bring the Justice Department to bear on your decision to sign into law a piece of legislation that says that you must use the bathroom to which you are biologically, sexually assigned. Is that the way I want to?
Yeah. I don't think you assign. Are you assigning sex? Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's so amazing about this is North Carolina. This is the home of Mayberry RFD.
Yeah.
This is the home of Andy Griffith and Opie and Aunt B and Barney. And these were law enforcement officers and they upheld the law. Now we've gone from Mayberry to what? Well, the reason that this law in North Carolina was sparked was as a result of Charlotte, North Carolina, city council, passing an ordinance saying, and I think it was passed 7-4, that you could use whatever bathroom you wish, whatever you feel like using.
Yeah.
Now, Charlotte, okay, not only is North Carolina the home of Mayberry, but now Charlotte is the headquarters. We're the headquarters for the Billy Graham Evangelical Association.
Oh, that's right. I wonder if this is in response to Franklin Graham, who's been going around, because he's been speaking out the truth and doing it boldly.
Well, he weighed in on this. He weighed in on this whole thing, and he said they should be ashamed. They should be ashamed in Charlotte for having done this. And this flies in the face of rationality. Has nothing to do with Christianity, basically. It has to do with just rationality. Why would you open up bathrooms to predators? Why would you allow men to go into women's bathrooms? And you want to get as close as you can to your victim, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you're a thief, you want to be as close to the open back pocket of your victim. You want to be a pickpocket. That's where you want to be. If you are a burglar, you want to be outside the open window of a home, correct? If you are a pervert, you want to be close to, yeah.
And when this happens, not if it happens, when this happens, who do you think they're going to blame for the women who are being molested?
Well, they'll blame the business.
Yeah, yeah, for not protecting the women, or they'll blame the women. Yeah, so this is really a war on women.
You know, Texas has asked Target to explain that very thing. How are you going to protect women and children? And that's what every state's attorney should do. And unfortunately, in North Carolina, the Democratic state's attorney has refused to defend this law against the feds. And this is ground zero. You've got Charlotte, North Carolina, where the headquarters for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is, and they have thumbed their nose at biblical values. And now Franklin Graham has come out and said, that's wrong. Okay. Not only there, but he's addressed this issue on the national level because we've gone from Mayberry to Stonewall.
So Stonewall, what's Stonewall?
That's not what you do when you're trying to Stonewall somebody.
And it's not Stonewall Jackson.
No, it's not Stonewall Jackson, the hero of the Confederacy. It's Stonewall. Stonewall Inn, back in 1969, Stonewall was a noted gay bar hangout area. And the police came in and raided it. And the homosexuals fought back. And there was a big riot. And as a result, it started the gay rights movement. That was the place that all homosexuals look back to say this is the beginning of the open gay rights movement.
This was back in what, about 69?
Okay. That's right. And as a result, President Obama has just recently come out and said that he plans to declare a national monument in New York City in recognition of gay rights, the gay rights struggle.
Oh, wow. That means it comes with taxpayer money. This is going to be a national monument. That would be under the national parks.
Yes.
And so this place, the birthplace of the gay rights movement, is going to end up being funded and kept open by taxpayer dollars.
Yes, because of President Obama. Now, here's what Franklin Graham said. Not only has he spoken out against the bathroom ordinance in Charlotte, not only has he encouraged lawmakers in North Carolina to pass a piece of legislation, which they did, and the governor signed it, saying that you have to use a bathroom for your sex. Okay, but now he's come out and said about this proposed national monument at Stonewall, quote, "A monument to sin? That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable." Now, war heroes deserve a monument, he wrote. Our nation's founding fathers deserve a monument. People who helped make America strong deserve a monument. But a monument to sin? We have come so far, so quickly, from Mayberry to Stonewall. And I think it's time for Christians to take drastic action. And drastic action would include letting those businesses know, like Starbucks, like Barnes & Noble, like Target, who have this transgendered bathroom policy, that we are not going to shop there. And we need to not just sign the document. We need to go in and confront the managers of those stores.
Yeah, but that's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
So people don't like doing that kind of thing. But, you know, once the heat is on, what does the Bible say? Judgment begins with the house of God. And so when the heat is going to become on the churches and on your ministry, because the government's going to come in and say, you know, because essentially, you know, this is what I've asked people. The government would not allow a church to discriminate against African Americans, would they?
No.
And they wouldn't say, well, we're for everybody except for the Irish, or we're for everybody except for the Chinese. The government would come in and say, no, you can't do that. But see, now that homosexuality has attained a quote-unquote protected status, it's not going to be long before the government comes in and says, churches, you can't discriminate either. You're going to have to hire them. You're going to have to allow them to be pastors. They're going to have to be allowed to be in the nurseries, and you're going to have to open up your bathrooms to everybody. Guys, this is coming. And if we don't do something about it now, if we don't do what Bill is saying, then it's going to come quicker. And then we're going to be forced into this.
And there are numerous instances in preschools where parents have pulled their kids out because there are now training in preschool for same-sex marriage. There's training in public schools. Now, Christians, don't be discouraged. Don't fret. That sounds biblical.
Yeah.
You know, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Psalm 37. Be encouraged. Read Psalm 37. Do not fret. Do not become. Now, that word fret means literally to become, just so churned up, okay? To be hot, okay? So when we are calling for action, like addressing managers of stores or addressing legislators, we're not saying you have to be hot.
Right. In fact, you shouldn't be.
No, but what you should be is deliberate and determined and contemplative in how you approach this. You know, we often think that Jesus, when he drove the money changers out of the temple, he was just overcome by his passion. that he just kind of lost it. And the answer is no. If you read the passages, it says that he sat down and he braided a whip. Now, it takes time to braid a whip. He was deliberate.
Yes.
And we need to be deliberate, and we need to be thoughtful and contemplative in how we're going to approach this. We're playing catch-up, and we need to be on the offensive. So I'm encouraging Christians to go on the offensive.
Right. The only thing that you get when you defend something is you either keep it the same or you lose.
Yes.
That's the only way that defense works. Offense is taking the ground back. Joshua didn't stand there outside of Jericho and hope that the walls fell down. God said, no, you go and do this. God has given us the means. He's told us what we need to do, and the results are up to him. We are to stand for the truth, and we need to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, and to give that with gentleness and respect to those who would ask for the hope. Why do we have hope? And this includes the homosexual community. We have got to learn how to speak to them as well, and to not just go in there and say, you're going to hell, but to offer them the salvation that only Christ can bring. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that such were some of you, but you have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And so we need to be prepared to give a reason for our hope, and not to just go in and condemn and condemn and condemn, because that's not up to us. That's up to God. And so our job is to speak the truth, and speak the truth in love.
We don't need to stonewall the culture.
That's right. Okay?
We need to go out and invade the culture with truth and grace and tear down these walls of sin. We do not need to build monuments to sin. We need to go out and invade the culture with truth and grace. We need to be the living monuments. Okay, we need to be the living stones that build the foundations for a culture that provides liberty for all under law. And that is what we need to do. So don't stonewall, and don't go out and just hide in your church on Sunday. Make your church part of everything that you do.
Yeah, engage the culture. That's something that you're very familiar with, Bill, that with Worldview Academy, you go out and you engage the culture with your students.
We train them to do that. At every camp, we take them out on a college campus and have them engage people in conversation. If people want more information about Worldview Academy, they can just check it out at worldview.org. We'd love to have you join us. We have several camps around the country. We have some openings left for the summer, and I'm looking forward to a great summer of equipping and training students to be salt and light.
Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Generations Radio, and it's great to be back with you again, Bill. We've got, I think, one more show tomorrow to do, and so looking forward to that.
Another cup of great coffee.
That's right. So join us again next time, and keep tuning in to Kevin. Send him donations to Kevin Swanson to generationswithvision.org, and keep this show on the air. Until then, this is Steve Vaughn
and Bill Jack.
We'll see you next time.